And welcome back to Sci-Fi Hour at Joy on Paper Radio. This is Bria Burton. Our next guest is Nadine Brandis, and I am so excited to talk to her. I got the privilege of meeting her at a writer's conference, and we're going to be talking about her book, The Nightmare Virus. And let's go ahead and play a book buzz that I was able to do about this awesome book.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique, Galaxies Near and Far, includes a 2024 YA dystopian, The Nightmare Virus by Nadine Brandis, with stellar narration by Greg D. Barnett. The novel is available in print, ebook, and audiobook. Now, let's download the book buzz. The moment Kane Cross becomes infected with the Nightmare Virus, a 22-day countdown to permanent sleep begins, which means he'll be trapped in the Nightmare World until his body succumbs to the elements or the blade of an enemy in the real world. No one has ever woken up from the virus after day 22. His race to find a cure has been fruitless, which means each day he'll sleep in increasing one-hour increments until he never wakes up again. The nightmare, according to his brother before the virus killed him, is worse than anything he could dream up in his own subconscious. Before the universities permanently closed, Kane and his brother had been studying to become draftsmen, the builders of dream worlds. Thanks to new technologies, it's now possible to create virtual realities for people to experience while they sleep. Dreamscapes were the very thing that made the nightmare virus even possible, but none of its creators could have imagined the consequences. When Kane arrives in the nightmare, he discovers it's a gladiator-style fight for survival, and death in the nightmare means death in the real world. Yet a thread of light is woven throughout the pervasive darkness, and Kane intends to follow the light. This hopeful horror mashup blends Hunger Games dystopian with Matrix cyberpunk. Author Nadine Brandis is a Carol Award-winning author of YA science fiction and fantasy who has been known to do wild things in the name of book research, such as ride a sleeper train across Russia. She loves to adventure through Middle-earth with her Auror husband and their four halfling children. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
Hello, Nadine, and welcome to Sci-Fi Hour.
Thank you so much. I should hire you to pitch my book for me. That was amazing.
Oh, it's so fun. It's one of the joys I have is I get to do these little book buzzes once a month, and it was an absolute pleasure to do one on your amazing book. So for those who are watching live on the YouTube channel with Tantalk Radio or on my Instagram or Facebook, I'm holding up the novel right now so you can see this beautiful cover, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It draws the eye. It's just evocative. And of course, we're going to be talking about things like book cover and publishing with a publisher and all that. But let's just start by talking about you as a writer. So when did you start writing, and what got you into fantasy sci-fi?
Oh, man. I've been writing stories since I was a little girl, but I never thought about publishing until I was later in life. I never thought that publishing, I never even pictured it as a career. I just wrote stories because I enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. I shared them with my siblings. And it wasn't until I got to college studying something that was very much not writing that I realized, oh, I don't love this. I love writing. Mm-hmm. I would like to do that for the rest of my life if that's possible. And that sort of led me down the research trail of what does publishing look like. And a lot of that was intertwined with my walk with the Lord and asking him, okay, can I write or should I finish up with my degree? Mm-hmm. And he directed me and opened doors and closed doors. But also during that time, I read a Christian fantasy series by Jill Williamson. It's called the Blood of Kings trilogy. And that, aside from Narnia, that was really my first experience with Christian fantasy. And it grew my faith, and I loved the story. It really changed my world. And when I realized how powerful Christian fantasy and fiction could be, because I experienced it in my life, I knew that that was the genre that I wanted to write in.
And so you started writing more fantasy than sci-fi. Is this your first sci-fi novel, or do you have others?
So technically, my first trilogy, the Out of Time series, book one is called A Time to Die. It's dystopian, and so that classifies
Okay.
fiction. Yes. Good. So I have four sci-fi and three fantasy. So currently, I guess sci-fi is winning.
Sci-fi is winning. Go sci-fi. Okay. I love fantasy too. There's no knocking fantasy. No, not at all. I also am a huge fan of Narnia, of Tolkien. I've been reading the C.S. Lewis Space Trilogy, which a lot of people, it's a lesser known of his, but it's science fiction that C.S. Lewis wrote, and the first two books, phenomenal. I'm on the third book now. So just a little reading tip out there if you haven't read that one. And so talk a little bit about your journey. So you've published how many books in how many years in terms of, like, you've been writing for a while now?
Yeah, my first book came out exactly 10 years ago, next month, and that was A Time to Die. And then The Nightmare Virus is my seventh traditionally published novel that just came out in July. So a 10-year span and seven novels. And I also had four children during that same 10-year span.
Oh, my goodness.
We are talking
to parents today because Seth, who was our guest, Seth Holland, he's a sci-fi local writer here in the middle of his first sci-fi novel. He has five children. And we were talking all about navigating while you have many children at home. And so I have one. I just have one child. And that's hard enough. So, oh, God bless both of you as you get your writing done in the midst of four and five children. And so, tell us a little bit about your journey to publish this particular book. I know the publisher is Enclave Publishing, wonderful publisher. Is this your first book with them, or have you published with them with some of your other books?
Yeah, it is actually my fourth book with them. They published my initial trilogy, the Out of Time series.
Ah, okay.
And then I was with a different publisher for the next three books. The reason being, because when I first published with Enclave, that was kind of that was when they were brand new, and they technically didn't publish YA at the time. So they categorized my Out of Time series as adult, even though it's a YA series, it can kind of be a crossover. And so since I wanted to continue with YA, I went with a different publisher. Now Enclave does YA, young adult. And so when I had an idea that I knew would be a good fit for them, I knew I wanted to go back because they're such a joy to work with and to publish with. So it has been a huge delight to come back to them with a book and go through the publishing process with them again.
Oh, that is so fun. And so tell me a little bit about that process. So you published with them when they were early on. Has anything significant changed? Like, have you come back to their publishing house going, oh, I love these improvements, or, you know, let's say they have a new book cover designer or something like that. Was there anything you especially noticed in the growth from a brand new publishing house to they're a little bit more seasoned?
Yes. Oh, so much has changed. And then also so much has not changed. So I'll start with what has not changed. Their vision for bringing fiction from Christian writers for the light of the Lord has never wavered, not once from the very beginning. And their value of their authors that they publish has also never wavered. They treat their authors so, so well and as family-like as a business can manage.
That is so neat.
It is really, really neat. It's a gift, and I know that comes from the leadership of the publishing house. On the more practical side, they have a whole team now. Back when I was published with them, there was just the editor and the owner, and now they have marketing teams and editing teams, and you know, I worked with a publicist, and they have a lot more that helps get the book to more readers. And that's because they do that on such a cycle every year. It's really become quite streamlined, and that, which makes it easier for the author and also makes the book have a broader reach. So all in all, just so many great improvements, and they've really found their readership as well. So I can only sing their praises.
That is so neat. Well, and what a wonderful journey. Traditional publishing can be very daunting. I think a lot of writers who are listening who have attempted that path and maybe not found the right publishing house yet or the right agent, it can be a long process. Do you mind me asking how long after you submitted your novel back in 10 years ago, What was the kind of wait period of acceptance to actual published book on the shelf?
Oh, yeah. I broke a cardinal rule. I submitted it and pitched it before it was finished.
Oh.
So then, yeah.
They say that's a big no-no, but there's always exceptions to the rules.
Yes, yes. It's not the end of the world. But then the editor was interested, and he said, well, send it to me when it's finished. And it took me another year and a half to finish it, and I was so afraid that he wouldn't be interested anymore. And then when I did send it, thankfully he was still interested, but it took, I didn't hear back for at least a half a year.
About 6 months, yeah. Yeah, and yeah, so that's...
Which I think is pretty normal with traditional publishing,
yes,
even today.
Same understanding that I have as well, that if you're going the traditional route, prepare to wait quite a bit. And, you know, my advice would be keep writing. So do you have any tips for the in-between?
Yes, keep writing. Mm-hmm. If you have the energy, study marketing, because that will serve you well.
Yes.
Depending on the publishing house you're with, they may rely on you to do most of your marketing. You know, I was with HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson, with my middle three books, and they are publishing, I don't know, maybe 100 books a year, maybe more than that. And so they're very much more business minded, and they can't give one-on-one promotional help or guidance to every single author,
right,
that's publishing a book that year. So they get it in bookstores, and they do the things with libraries that I can't do. But it was very much up to me to figure out how to reach my readers and social media and marketing and
yes,
branding and all of that. So in the in-between, I learned even what those words meant and how I maybe wanted to do them without completely obliterating my stamina and energy, and figured out a rhythm that I would be able to carry over into publishing.
Wonderful advice. And then I want to get to your book, but I just have two more kind of practical marketing type questions. You have done author speaking engagements. I was just at Realm Makers Writers Conference back in July, where I got to meet you, and I'm going to show everybody online. I got your signature on, this is an autographed copy of the book, because I got to meet you and we played this delightful game at your book launch party at the conference. So tell us about speaking and doing author engagements like that. Launch party with a game and that type of
yes,
thing.
I love teaching writers. I love speaking. And that was not my mindset when I was an early writer. I thought I'd be the hermit who wrote and, you know, sent it to the publisher, and that's the last that you hear from me. Mm. Open these doors to start sharing what I knew. Not just on writing craft, but also on being creative with our creator, the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's been really revolutionary to me and my process, so I want to share it. And because of that, I get invited to speak at writing conferences, and I get to connect with writers and readers. And this year, with the release of The Nightmare Virus, it happened to coincide with the Realm Makers Conference. And so we got to do a party that was a little out of my comfort zone. I hope I faked it well.
You did. I could not tell.
Oh, good.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was so fun. Oh, yeah. So we have got to talk about this book, because you are just bright and bubbly and so sweet. And then we've got this delightful sci-fi horror that I'm holding in my hands. So I personally... I actually kind of love horror, and I don't love gore, and I don't love gross, but I love the psychological aspects of horror. I love the looking at things in kind of that squinty eye way of like, wait a minute, what's going on behind that curtain? Like, horror is such a broad term, but when we're targeting it here with a sci-fi premise of the nightmare virus, which is this infection, quote unquote, that comes over people because of this virtual dreamscape creation that basically goes wrong and now people are infected. So what happens when technology doesn't go as planned? To me, that can take so many wonderful directions. And you have taken this, you know, seemingly typical horror premise and turned it on its head a little bit because of how much hope there is in this story. So talk a little bit about your character, Cain Cross, and what led you to write his story.
Yeah, I've actually never categorized it as horror, but I know some people who do. I approached it more as a light and darkness type of scenario. Mm-hmm. And because I don't read a lot of horror, I couldn't necessarily put it up next to other horror books to see how it compares. Mm-hmm. But I know that those who do not read horror enjoy it, and it's not too dark for them.
Correct.
And those who do read horror also enjoy it because it has kind of that psychological aspect. So for the listeners who like horror, I hope you'll give it a try. And for the listeners who maybe bristle at the word horror, I hope you'll give it a try because the focus is the light that comes through the darkness.
Absolutely. And, yes.
And that was a lot of the inspiration behind the story. You know, it's really, okay, what if there's a virus that sends us into an alternate world of sorts that feels even more temporary than our current world, because the clock is ticking. The longer you have the virus, the longer you're stuck in that world, and probably the sooner your time's going to run out. And I think a lot of, in real life, are we actually viewing the time that we have as short? Mm-hmm. And short isn't bad. It's just how intentional are we being with that time? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to explore that through Cain Cross's character, because he hasn't really thought about the brevity of life. He just knows he wants more of it. He wants to find a cure to get back to normal, to have more life, to then figure out what he wants. But that's not really an option for him. And so he's faced with this question, what if I can't find a cure? Then how am I going to live with what I have left? And that's more of the journey that I had in my mind going into the story. And I wrapped it up in a adventurous sci-fi twisty story.
Yes. Oh, beautifully done. I must say, your story craft, it shows that you've written quite a few books now. Like, you have an incredible way with words, and just your action, there's action-packed scenes in here that just, it's like page-turning, and then there's kind of more sit back and soak in some of the dilemmas that Cain is coming up against of, like, do I pair up with this emperor in this nightmare world? Do I, you know, some of the really deep questions of who am I trusting and who should I not trust? And so, you know, dystopian essentially has horror as an overarching umbrella, even though it's under the sci-fi umbrella. So, that's kind of, I think, why a lot of people don't necessarily think of dystopian specifically as a horror genre, but it does fit
well.
But
if we were living in it, we would
be horrified.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the things that he goes through, talk about getting your character in really terrible situations. He has some really rough things he goes through, and that just it endears him even more as a character. And some of the things that I loved the roots. There's this moment where he's in the nightmare and he lifts up his foot and he's noticing roots are growing out of his feet, and there's another character that's pointing this out to him because she doesn't have the roots but he does. And there's what a commentary. Oh my goodness, it's so wonderful. And you've got night beasts and nightmare beasts and these different kind of, there's virtual reality basically where anything goes. So what does the character come up with? And you've come up with some really creative, fascinating creations and creatures in the midst of this virtual world. So tell us a little bit about the fun behind some of those creations.
Oh, it was fun because, like you said, anything goes. And really, in the nightmare world, what exists is created from somebody's imagination. So the imagination is the limit. And I got to ask myself, well, what's Kane's imagination? And he's kind of known for having a very vivid one and a broad one and a strong one. So I got to stretch mine as much as I wanted and didn't have to worry about breaking rules.
Exactly. And so I was announcing to everybody earlier that we are here at Joy on Paper. Patsy, our regular host, is doing a NaNoWriMo boot camp in October. Is NaNoWriMo something that you have ever done or are planning to do?
It is something that I tried many times in the past. Uh-huh. But I am a very slow writer. I like to say I'm 90% brainstorming, 10% writing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really work with NaNoWriMo. Also, because I don't outline. NaNoWriMo,
you're like me, you're a gardener.
Really well. yes. And outliners tend to do really well with NaNoWriMo because they've done the majority of the brainstorming ahead of time. My brain just doesn't work that way. So a lot of times I'll use NaNoWriMo as a boost of motivation, but I've certainly never won.
It's quite a challenge. 50,000 words in the month of November. What a challenge. And with people who have children and other things preoccupying, it's quite a commitment to commit to.
Yeah.
So just another shout out there for those who are interested that we will have this boot camp coming up in October. So I wanted to ask you just about your end. Okay, we're not going to spoil, right? At the end of the novel, I was thinking to myself, this feels like a very complete story. Is this a standalone novel, or will there be more coming later?
It is a standalone.
Uh-huh.
And I think some people would love to have more, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. There will be a tiny little bit more when the paperback releases. I'm just going to say it. Don't tell my publisher.
Okay. So hopefully they're not listening.
I know. No, they'll be fine. Well, there was a bonus chapter for those who pre-ordered the hardcover, and it kind of brings a little bit more to the end of a thread that didn't really get concluded in the main story.
Okay.
And having to do with his brother. And so if you want that, keep your eyes on the paperback.
Ooh. I will. I would like to know the answer to that. Okay, so that is very exciting. And where can people buy this book? Where can they follow you on social media, find out your next author speaking engagement?
Yeah, they can. You can get this book wherever books are sold. You know, any bookstore can order it in. It's in all online retailers. You can find me at NadineBrandis.com. I'm most active on my newsletter, which goes out once a month, and also on Instagram, where my handle is Nadine Brandis. And I also have a course, a course for writers that teaches writers how to self-edit their books once they finish the first draft. And all of that's on my website as well.
Okay,
so those are my main places.
And did you say NadineBrandis.com?
Yes, that's
okay,
correct.
So that's NadineBrandis.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
Yeah. No, I literally looked up your YouTube channel so that I could pronounce your last name properly because I thought if she says it, I'll say it correctly. And so, listener, be sure to go to NadineBrandis.com, check out her links to all her books, and not just The Nightmare Virus, but she has this wonderful back catalog. And Nadine, do you have upcoming speaking engagements anytime soon?
I'll be speaking at the Hume Lake Creative Conference in October, and then also at the Vision Writers Conference next year. So those are the next conferences that I will be at.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We would love to have you back when your next book releases.
Thank you so much, Bria. This was fun.
It was so fun for me, too. And have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Oh my goodness, what a fun sci-fi hour. And remember everybody, NaNoWriMo Bootcamp in October with Patsy at Joy on Paper. And the show is every Tuesday, Thursday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. So we will see you, talk to you all again real soon, and have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye now.